like nothing but a memory from the house that built me.
I'm just an old jukebox junkie spending my time, spending my money, feeding this habit with hardcore country. I'm just an old jukebox junkie. I can't stand it here. Music stop. I keep dropping my quarters in the slot. I play every song from A to Z. I'm just an old jukebox junkie. Some are dancing fools. Some are hooked on booze. Some get their fix on an old bar stool.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. During closing arguments in the New York civil trial centering on Donald Trump's family businesses and inflated property values, the former president spoke briefly inside the courtroom. ABC's Aaron Katursky is at the courthouse with more.
Defense attorney Chris Kyes, at the end of the defense summation, stood up, asked the judge to reconsider allowing Trump to speak. And the judge tried to get Trump to agree to stay within the bounds of what's permitted in a closing argument. And before Trump even agreed, he just started in calling the case a witch hunt, as he has previously.
Trump, outside the courthouse, told reporters his company is innocent. Government data showing that consumer prices rose 3.4% in December compared to a year ago and unexpectedly were up from the previous month. Prices dropping for things like gas, milk, and eggs from last year, but still high due to inflation. And more volatile storms on tap for the Northeast this week. This is ABC News. The Biden administration taking steps to encourage more Americans to drive electric vehicles. The federal government announcing millions in grant money it will give states to support EVs and the new technology.
The Transportation Department is awarding $623 million to states to build charging stations and other new infrastructure to support electric vehicles. Officials say much of the focus will be on building chargers in rural and lower income communities, including local libraries. White House officials tell reporters that since President Biden took office 3 years ago, the number of electric vehicle models available to consumers has doubled. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
More layoffs at Amazon. The company cutting hundreds of employees from its Prime Video, Twitch, and MGM Studio division as a money-saving measure, it says. Amazon says it's providing benefit packages that include a separation payment as well as helping workers find new jobs. More than 27,000 Amazon employees have been laid off since 2022. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. At the Capitol, findings and recommendations from the Speaker's Task Force on Human Trafficking.
Task Force Chair Fond du Lac Representative Jerry O'Connor says they're proposing 11 bills to address human trafficking on a variety of fronts.
At the end of the day, we want to know that we made a difference, and we just didn't take up space here in the Capitol for 4 months.
Vice Chair Eau Claire Representative Jody Emerson says there's a need for urgency.
We cannot simply have a task force, do a report, and then keep it on the shelf. I've seen this happen far too frequently.
With only about a month remaining in the current session, it's not clear whether any of the bills will get to the governor. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Groups opposed to widening a stretch of I-94 on Milwaukee's west side say it will negatively impact black and brown residents. Cassie Steiner with Sierra Club's Wisconsin chapter says the project is now under a federal civil rights review.
And so there will be an investigation into that. And at this time, we're hoping that Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Federal Highway Administration pause all efforts until that investigation is over.
The DOT says the lane expansion will reduce congestion and improve safety between the Zoo and Marquette interchanges. Leaders in Milwaukee voted in favor of giving themselves raises. By a 3-2 margin Wednesday, the Finance Committee of the city's Common Council voted in favor of 15% pay raises for Milwaukee's mayor and alders. It's been 15 years since Milwaukee's mayor and Common Council members have gotten a pay raise. The proposal would also give pay raises to department heads and top staff in the city. The full council is scheduled to look over the proposal, which would cost around $3 million annually, at their meeting next Wednesday.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Snow on the way in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Cloudy throughout the day today. Highs mid-20s. West winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, cloudy. A slight chance of snow light. Lows near 16. Tomorrow, winter storm watch in effect. Snow and blowing snow. 4 inches possible. We'll have highs in the mid-20s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys basketball tonight. The Panthers are at Mondovi. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here on WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com. This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Live from the 1st 11th via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Joe Kakish from Growth Energy. Then it's Professor Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. And directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much, hey, buddy. Here we are in 19 degrees, kind of overcast skies out there. Okay. And I'm calling this a break in the weather. And it seriously is. We don't have much wind today. Yep. Kids are back in school in northeast Iowa. Doubtful that they are going to be in school tomorrow because another storm is rolling in overnight, dude.
Yep. Coming along with that, some dangerously cold temperatures that look like they'll be with us into next week, Chip.
Yeah, into next week. We've got daytime highs below 0 degrees up here in northeast Iowa for 3 consecutive days next week.
Yeah. No.
That's putting a chill into things. There's no question. If you've got an automatic waterer out there that gives you some fits from time to time, it's probably going to be giving you fits next week.
Absolutely it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No question.
You got lambs or, you know, ewes about ready to lamb. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming this weekend.
Yeah. Might be a little early, actually. No doubt. All right. We're going to talk with Henderson about what this weather means for the cash cattle market and some beef movement. Joe Kakish from Growth Energy is going to be with us to talk about just give us the latest development on SREs. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has told EPA that they haven't been interpreting the RFS correctly. We'll find out what's going on there. And then we're going to talk beef demand. Glenn Tonsor is going to be here with the details from his meat demand monitor. All right, let's get to the news.
Chip, let's start with the National Weather Service weather outlook, where they're looking for strong, low-pressure systems to develop over the southern plains and bring widespread rain, snow, and wind for the eastern half of the nation. Meanwhile, dangerously cold temperatures for the northern Rockies and plains through this weekend, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Big time potential for a big-time storm tonight and and some dangerous conditions next week.
Hey, check this out, Chip. Private exporters reported sales of 175,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 23-24 marketing year, a daily sale, baby.
Yeah, a value buyer, a traditional buyer, the number one buyer of U.S. corn is back in the market. That's a good thing.
Well, Chip, the Securities and Exchange Commission has approved 11 exchange-traded funds holding Bitcoin. The first time the agency has permitted the trading of funds directly invested in a cryptocurrency. The new funds, known as spot Bitcoin ETFs, because they buy and sell the digital currency itself, are expected to begin trading today. Mm-hmm. Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John Williams said monetary policy is now tight enough to guide inflation back to the Fed's target, but suggested policymakers need more evidence of cooling inflation before cutting interest rates.
That right there is a hold interest rates where they're at for a longer period of time than what the market anticipates. Mm. That's the message that I got from that comment.
Well, inflation moderated less than expected last month, according to government data released just today, potentially tempering the bullish case behind the stock market's historic run in recent months. Consumer prices ticked up the most in 3 months from November to December, bringing annualized inflation to 3.4%, hotter than average economist estimates.
Yeah, that move, and we've talked about this so many times, Davis, getting it from a 9% rate to a 6% rate, that's not easy, but it's easier than getting it from a 3% rate to a 2% rate. It gets harder as you get closer to your target.
Well, Chip, the International Energy Agency, or IEA, reported a significant increase in the deployment of renewable energy in the past year, primarily driven by China, which contributed to a 50% rise in global renewable energy capacity. However, this growth, while promising, falls short of the UN-agreed target. China contributing to a 50% rise in global renewable energy capacity? What?
Come on. That is just China showing us how hungry they are for energy, because nobody has put up more coal-powered plants than China in the last 3 years.
Well said. Well, instead of utilizing the Panama Canal, major shipping company A.P. Moller Maersk will employ a land bridge approach using rail transport to cover the 49.7 miles of Panama's terrain.
Wow.
This move is in response to the challenges posed by the ongoing low water levels in the canal. Chip, I mean, do
they... Load, unload,
right.
Load.
Yes. I mean, can that be... How can it be that that's cheaper? Because you also got to rent a train, you know?
Right.
That's not cheap.
That is crazy. We'll have to dig into that a little bit more. Good one.
Nutty stuff. Well, a group of House conservatives dissatisfied with the spending deal reached by Speaker Mike Johnson with Democrats narrowly blocked a procedural vote on Wednesday. Republican leadership canceled an afternoon vote series following the revolt. This rebellion resulted in 13 Republicans joining Democrats to vote against the rule for a set of unrelated bills preventing the House from debating and voting on those measures. I'm not sure what this means, Chip, but it does not sound like progress to me, buddy.
Yet nobody's getting along is what this means, Davis. Nobody likes the idea of a short-term CR. We talked with Colin Peterson about this yesterday. The short-term CR isn't what they want. Long-term CR isn't what they want. And they can't make a deal on the appropriation. So I don't know where we're going to end up in all of this. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
You bet.
All right. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, bud?
Well, Chip, I'm extremely fortunate I don't have tickets to that Chiefs-Dolphins game Saturday night.
That's going to be chilly. There's no question about it.
Kickoff below zero.
Yep.
And the wind chill. And, you know, man, it's one thing to be feeding cattle where you're moving around a little bit, but just to go sit and watch a game would just be miserable, wouldn't it?
I would have more hand warmers and toe warmers and butt warmers than I could carry on me. There's no doubt about that.
The touchdowns will keep us warm, Greg. The touchdowns. All of them.
Oh, man, what's this weather doing to the cattle?
Well, you know, Chip, it's having a major impact. And a lot of people are saying they can't remember, you know, in recent memory, at least, a weather event that's had as much impact. Slaughter yesterday was on Tuesday, I should say, 94,000 head. That was down 25% from a week earlier. And that's because Tyson and Cargill and some other packers had to close their plants. Some of the workers even spent the night in the plant because the road conditions were so bad at the Tyson plant anyway. So, you know, it was a major disruption, and we expect that to be positive for cash prices, Chip. Positive if you can get your cattle to market, right, and get them harvested. So the wholesale beef prices are the thing that has improved this week because of that tight production. And they're up about $3 yesterday. So, you know, last week, Sterling Marketing estimated cattle feeders lost $160 a head, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how that straightens out here this week. And we've got Glenn Tonser on to talk about some beef demand here in just a moment. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home. They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flora, your host. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Man, Davis, Thursday morning already.
Thursday already.
It's free for all 24 hours from now.
It's 1-11. Tomorrow will be 1-12. Yeah.
Right. And USDA reports tomorrow.
I'm here
Holy
to tell you.
Smokes.
This one, as I hear it, could be a market mover.
Yeah. Absolutely. Quarterly Grain Stocks Report has a history of doing stuff like that.
Indeed.
All right. Joe Kakish is the General Counsel for Growth Energy. He joins us right now. Joe, how are you? Thanks for making time.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Yeah. Okay. So Growth Energy filed two petitions for rehearing with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals regarding the court's 2023 decision. I think it came in November. On small refinery exemptions under the renewable fuel standard.
That's right.
Joe, you got to help me out. What does all this mean? What is a petition for rehearing?
So let me just lay this out. So as you said, okay, the Fifth Circuit issued an opinion that was wrong on the law and wrong on the facts. And there are different options for trying to get the court or some court to fix those errors. One way to do that is to go back to the Fifth Circuit, okay, and point out those errors and give them an opportunity to correct the opinion before we take any further steps, right? So that's the petition for rehearing. And you can do the petition for rehearing in two different ways. One is to go back to the original three-judge panel. That's the panel rehearing. The second option is to go back to the entire set of judges in the Fifth Circuit. That's called the en banc petition. And because of the way the rules work in the court, parties will often seek petitions for rehearing both at the panel level and at the en banc level at the same time, which is what we did here this week.
Okay. Going back to the three judges that passed the original opinion and saying, hey, you were wrong. I mean, that's the bottom line on this, right? Is basically right to tell the judges that they were wrong in their opinion.
Well, you know, this is not unexpected. There are rules already written in place that contemplate this very possibility. It's really done for the purposes of judicial efficiency, to avoid the necessity for further appeals in different courts, and to allow a court that has more experience with the case to address the issues once again before you seek an appeal to the Supreme Court. So that's why it's there. And our main bone of contention here, which is an important one and a serious one, is related to what's called venue, which is which court is the right court to hear this case. And in our view and in EPA's view, it's not the Fifth Circuit. And here's why. When EPA makes decisions about small refinery exemptions, that has a nationwide impact because, as you know, whoever is obligated to blend under the renewable fuel standard will be impacted by a refiner who is then exempted from it because they have to make up, right, the loss of those gallons. So even if it's a local decision with a local refinery, it has reverberations across the country and across the entire market for what are called RINs, renewable fuel. So the only proper place to take this case is the D.C. Circuit. And that case is also occurring as we speak. It's a little further behind the Fifth Circuit. Okay. What's even more notable is that many other circuit courts have already agreed with us and said, you know what, I'm not touching this case. I'm going to send it to the D.C. Circuit where it belongs.
Okay. So what does the timeline look like on this petition for the rehearing?
So there are no rules requiring when the panel responds to any petition for rehearing. But there are different pathways that it could take. So the panel and the full court could just reject the petitions outright, which would be a final action by the court with respect to the rehearing. That's number one. Number two is before they make any decisions about whether to deny or grant, they will call for more briefing from the parties on the issue to further elaborate the issues, legal and factual issues raised in the petition, which is really not that long of a document at the end of the day, so that it may require additional briefing. And then from that point, they may deny the petition or grant it and issue a new opinion. The third option is the most direct one, that's positive, is that the court, in response to the briefings presented in the petitions, will revise their opinion and issue a new opinion. So there's many different paths forward for us here.
Okay. And the bottom line here, and again, please, Joe, fix me if I'm wrong on this. The Biden administration has not shown much interest in granting SREs, the Biden EPA. Does the existing court ruling as it stand or decision as it stands today raise the likelihood that SREs will be granted?
Well, look, in the Fifth Circuit, which covers Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, the current law that's being challenged by the court is that SREs can be granted in accordance with the way the court had laid it out, right? So it's not about whether EPA is more likely or less likely. They just have to follow what the Fifth Circuit standards are on the merits.
Okay.
But I doubt they'll take any action right now while these cases are pending. You have to understand there's a case in the 11th Circuit, which covers Georgia and Florida, and Alabama still pending, and then the nationwide D.C. Circuit case. So right now, you have a lot of uncertainty across the country about just what the standards are and who's the right court to make those determinations.
Okay. So if the petition for rehearing is denied, the Supreme Court is the next step?
That would be your only option to appeal from the Fifth Circuit, right?
Okay.
Because that's the next level of court. So then if someone were to pursue that from the Fifth Circuit, you'd file what's called a petition for certiorari, a lot of Latin right there, mm-hmm. Which is basically a request to the Supreme Court to take up this case, okay? And the Supreme Court, as you know, gets thousands of petitions every year, probably 8,000 or 9,000, and they grant maybe 1% or more of right. all of those granted. So your chances of ever getting cert are quite low in the abstract. However, here you have the potential of there being different opinions within different courts across the country about, for example, this question about which court should answer this decision. Because right now, let's say you have a Fifth Circuit decision that's negative for the industry, but a DC Circuit decision that's positive for the industry. Then you have what's called a circuit split in some ways, where a regulated party, such as a refiner or the biofuels industry, just doesn't know what the standard is from moment to moment, or they're faced with competing standards depending on the geography of the refinery. And we can't, that's not an ideal situation. So that could provide a little extra impetus for the court to take it up.
All right. What's the best outcome here, Joe?
Two things. The best outcome is that the Fifth Circuit, decides rightly that it was wrong to take this case in the first case. That's number one. That disputes about small refinery exemptions ought to be assessed and resolved in the DC Circuit. That's number one. That's on the procedure. Number two is on the merits. EPA's analysis of small refinery exemption eligibility is the right one, right? It says you have to show that your attempt to comply with the RFS is causing economic hardship for you, right? You have to, EPA has an economic view about the role that RFS cost plays in overall pricing, such that costs are passed through. They do a very individual, a detailed analysis. And, I think there's an issue here about this deference to agency expertise. EPA's got it, and they got to be given the flexibility to exercise that authority that they have, been doing over the past several years. So there's two outcomes. One is on the procedure, one is on the merits, and we're hoping we get both.
Gotcha. Got about 30 seconds left here. What's the status of year-round availability of E15?
Well, it's only January, so it's anyone's guess what May 1st and June 1st is going to bring. So as the governors of Iowa and Nebraska have brought this lawsuit seeking some resolution. EPA has made a commitment, quote unquote, to issue the regulations by March of this year. But as that's probably too late for this year for those things to be effective. And so we're really looking toward what the administration is going to do to ensure continuity in 2024 and beyond.
Yep. I'm sure that's a hot topic of discussion today for your CEO, Emily Score, there at the Iowa Renewable Fuels Summit.
Absolutely.
That is, Yeah, that is a top priority for the industry. Joe, good stuff. I understand it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Take care.
All right. That is Joe Kakish, General Counsel for Growth Energy. We've got Glenn Tonser coming up next.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention, monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com to learn more.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. February milk down 31 to 1591. March down 30 to 1636. April down 26 to 1708. May milk down 12 at 1768. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher today as the trade remains light and is limiting some of the additional direction throughout the day. There's been a pullback in the stock market that's led to some money coming back into the commodities. The big winter storm also helping to provide some support that could limit some of the supply. Meanwhile, hog markets are moving mixed with late morning buyer support moving into the February futures contract. The rest of the complex is moving lower following early morning pressure seen over the last few hours in the trade. February live cattle up 50 cents to 171.25. January feeder cattle up $1.02 to 225.65. February hogs up 50 cents to 72.57. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are moving up mostly lower today. Position squaring ahead of the WASDE report Friday. Also, South American weather remains favorable for the corn crop. Soybeans are moving mostly higher. It's oversold conditions. The trade is doing some positioning ahead of the WASDE report. Wheat futures are mostly lower due to limits in the wheat specific news. New crop corn down 3.5 to 488.5. New crop beans up 3 to 1208.5.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Jeff Fletcher with us. As we start looking into 2024 and talking with market analysts about their outlook for the different markets when it comes to the cattle trade and beef trade. It all comes down to the wild card, and the wild card being the consumer and how consumers are going to react to changing economic conditions and what it might mean for beef demand down the road. And, you know, trying to assess what's going to happen in the future, you got to get a good status update of what's happening right now. We're going to do that with Professor Glenn Tonser. He is at Kansas State University in the Ag Economy Department there. Professor Tonser manages the Meat Demand Monitor there at K-State. Glenn, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. So here we are. Let's get it started with the baseline of what the current condition is in beef demand. How well is beef demand holding up?
Yeah, so a summary statement would be is, you know, as 2023 concluded, beef demand was flat or weaker compared to the year before, depending on exactly which market channel and which product line you had asked me about. I'm giving you that summary before I lose people with numbers. I run point on the project called the Meat Demand Monitor that's here. It's survey-based, and we have info for December. And then we have a little bit more dated USDA-based data for November. So depends on exactly which metric I'd look at. You would have either flat or down as we ended 2023.
You know, it was flat or down, but, and this is one of those subjective, you know, points of view. And I know when we get into that, you don't like to do that on a regular basis, but flat or weaker, given the supply constraints that we had in that market, it was really good enough at the end of the year to at least stop what was a bleed in that cattle market by early December, right?
Yeah, and Chip, probably this is where my introduction or, you know, inject here. This is not really unique to beef.
Okay.
If you were interviewing me about pork demand or interviewing me about chicken demand, I would have some similar comments. Why am I saying that? At least the second half of 2023, so think July 4th through, you know, Christmas, yeah, we had flat, if not weakening, meat demand domestically in the U.S., and I think that was macroeconomic based, not product quality, not people trying to run away from beef or pork or chicken. It was a, you know, concerns on their finances, a fair number of folks, their earnings, right? W-2 paycheck was not keeping up the cost of living, and their demand for several categories declined, and beef, pork, and chicken is not immune from that. So I think that's important. There's some reasons for optimism here in 24 that might improve. I'm happy to talk about, yep, but I really want to emphasize that none of this is really unique to beef.
Okay. You know, I got to mention this because we're talking about December readings on beef demand here on the Meat Demand Monitor. Glenn, has prime rib become the go-to on Christmas Day for a lot of families?
I don't know if I can be on record saying it's the, but I'm definitely happy to be on record and say it has grown in prevalence. You know, if you would compare to 10 years ago and certainly 30 years ago, it's you know, its role in the Christmas meal. And if we're being complete here, even at Thanksgiving, so more generally other holiday meals, yeah, the prime rib for some households in the U.S. is, you know, moving up the relative rank. I'm old enough to know when it was a turkey or a ham, and that was the end of the, yep, discussion. There's quite a few households that now they have more to choose from, and or they're willing to pay up more. And, you know, that's great for the beef complex. But I'm also want to interject here, you know, the population of our country is quite a bit bigger. I'm 43, Chip. I know several of your listeners are older than that, but that is old enough to give some context. You know, when I was a kid, our country was quite a bit smaller population wise. So there is room for all those major proteins to have a place in the celebration, you know, celebrating the holidays.
Yep.
And
yep,
prime rib, yep, is definitely one that we've seen that growth occur on.
Yeah. Yeah. I just know when you look at social media and the social media that I pay attention to, good grief, it was pictures of prime ribs all over the place. That's got to have an impact on our overall demand picture and maybe some reasons to be optimistic into 2024. As you mentioned, let's go through some of those reasons.
Yeah, and I'm going to segment our, you know, the consumer for a moment here. One of the things I've really honed in on the last, you know, certainly 3 if not 6 months, is how are your household finances compared to a year ago? And unfortunately, in December, only 14% said their finances were better than they were December of 22. Okay. So that means the bulk are, you know, the same or worse. Why is that important? Those that say their finances have improved consume beef, pork, and chicken at much higher rates the prior day. And the example you gave me, right, you know, okay. your willingness to put prime rib on the Christmas, you know, morning, you know, lunch table is going to be related to that as well. So unfortunately, it's a very small percentage that would apply to. The optimistic point I want to interject here that's related to our exchange is we also ask them to look forward. So instead of looking backwards, look forward to the upcoming year. And a little over 30%, so just shy of a third of those we're talking to, over 2,000 people every month, say their finances are expected to improve, you know, by the time we get to December of 24, by the time they're making that Christmas decision a year from now. And I hope that occurs. If that sentiment, you know, becomes reality and their finances have improved, and at the same time, we're going to have tighter beef supplies the second half of 24, tying into some of your other interviews earlier, I would anticipate much higher beef prices across the whole complex, demand supported and tighter supply supported the back half of 24.
Yeah. I guess that surprises me that that many people or that high of a percentage, even at 30%, think that, that conditions are going to be better in December 2024 than what they are in December of 23. But 70% don't.
Correct. But what I'm really trying to highlight is that 30 is double the 14, right?
So, sure. Okay, good point.
I mean, that's the point. Is it's not like the average person on the street thinks it's going to get better, but you're twice as likely to tell me it's going to get better than that it's gotten worse. This is the way to think about that.
Yeah.
But there's still macroeconomic concerns. You know, the general expectation is this, you know, discussion of a soft landing, or if we have a recession, it'll be small. Oil prices are muted compared to in the past. Most evidence of inflation, you know, it exists, but it's lower than it was. I think all of that is sort of on the mind of folks when they, you know, kind of put it all around, you know, my wages versus cost of living. It's good to see that 30% are more optimistic. But of course, I'd love to see that number be 85.
Right. Right. Gotcha. Yeah. One of the things that Davis and I talk about on the show quite frequently, Glenn, is affordability and how affordability has deteriorated over the past 3 years. And I just wonder if 2024 might be the year that it really starts to show itself in some of these consumer purchasing trends.
Well, it could, but keep in mind, you know, the affordability is impacted by lots of things, and the volume that's available is one of them, right? So, you know, most of our discussion here has been in the beef space, and I jumped to, you know, kind of the end of 24. You know, almost all analysts say we're going to have less domestic beef being produced the back half of 24. If demand is flat, that's going to lead to higher prices, which for some in the U.S. means it's less affordable, right? That's how markets work. That could be offset if we had a notable increase in demand and, you know, economic conditions. But I think it's pretty much written into stone that we're going to have less available, and therefore for some, it's going to be less affordable.
Okay. What is your outlook for this cattle market? I'm getting mixed reactions, Glenn. You know, the question that I've been asking is, can we go back up and at least challenge the highs that we saw in 2023, September of 23? Is that possible because of the tight supply?
You got to give me a time period in that question. Are you asking me tomorrow or are you asking me in the next 18 months?
Yeah, let's go in calendar year 2024.
Possible. I wouldn't necessarily bet on it, but I definitely think the back half of 24, that'll be the tone. Mainly because of my thesis earlier is, you know, the cattle on feed report we've seen, maybe we're going to get a surprise in the January cattle inventory report, but short of that big surprise, I think all the evidence is we have yet to pull the trigger on expansion. I anticipate we'll attempt to do that from a limited number of heifers this summer, and that story would grow going into 2025. And the way markets pull that off is to have more expensive cattle prices out there to encourage it, right? So that's my bullish thesis for the second half of 24. So it's possible we'll challenge those highs.
Is it more possible as we get out to the middle of 2025?
Yes.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I wondered if that – you were dropping me a hint there when you said 18 months, weren't you?
Yeah. No, I was. And, I mean, the other part – I don't want to get too geeky for – I mean, you're talking to a PhD economist, so I woke up geeky, but I'll try not to be too geeky. is, you know, nominal prices, you know, comparing to something 3-4 years ago versus inflation adjusted prices that might reflect the cost of production difference today. That's, you know, geeks like me would always point out that being important. But when we're coming out of an era of 6-8% inflation and maybe now persistent, you know, 2-4%, depending on who's measuring it where, that's a really important distinction. So just because we hit a past high in nominal terms, we may not hit it in inflation adjusted terms.
Right. Right. It's an important one to remember. And you can have a high cattle price, but that doesn't mean that there's profits in the feed yard, and the cost of that calf going in and the feed and everything is going to play an important role on the margins.
Yeah. And to our listeners here, you know, let's talk to the cow calf side, you know, where we're going to make that expansion decision or not to expand. $3 calf price doesn't get you as excited as it once did. It's still better than two, but it doesn't cover as, you know, your cost as well as it did 10 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. Glenn, that's a lot to think about there. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip. Everybody stay safe this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, be safe out there. That is Professor Glenn Tonzer from Kansas State University, manages the meat demand monitor there at K-State.
The new year is the perfect time to make some positive changes for your body and your health. If you've been enjoying a little too much food, too many sweets, and too much liquid cheer over the holidays, then you've probably put a lot of stress on your liver. A great way to show your liver some love and to detox your system is simply adding Active Liver to your daily routine. Active Liver is one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy, Active Liver is an easy and effective way to keep your liver healthy and functioning properly all year long. You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with Active Liver. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text HOT to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text HOT to 321-321. That's HOT to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves It's their whole family. It brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory. Chip, I want to go back to something that Greg Henderson from Drover said. I've done a little experiment here in the city of Fountains. I took some, you can get this dolphin-free tuna at the store.
Yeah.
I got the dolphin enriched tuna just as an experiment.
Okay.
And I put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
All right. And then calculated how many yards that can of tuna was able to make in a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
To its credit, 37 yards. 37 yards, if I'm rounding up.
All right. That's not bad, but it's not going to win a lot of games.
It was all the tuna, you know?
Oh,
like the dolphin part just laid there. It was all the tuna.
Yeah.
I like our chances on Saturday.
Freeze the fish. Send them home.
Yeah. Send them back. They'll ship safer that way. Joe Kakish. Okay.
Freeze packed into single serving portions.
That's right. The idea is to tell judges they're wrong on the RFS ruling. He went through a whole thing here. I think I understand most of it.
Yep.
But where he lost me was the role of geography.
Yeah.
In what Joe Kakish's growth energy is trying to do. Yeah.
Right.
Help me out.
Well, the RFS is a Washington implemented law.
Okay.
So a district court in, what was it, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas?
Yeah.
Probably should not be the one issuing opinions, decisions on a national program that that has an impact on refiners. So, in other words, the decision was made in refining country.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move the decision out of refining country and move it into the implementation of law country in the D.C. Circuit and make the decision there.
Mm-hmm. Well, because his
that's the procedural side of it.
Okay. That makes sense. It doesn't sound like he's unhappy with EPA's RFS policy. In fact, I wrote down that he said it actually works or could work given the chance.
Yeah, well, and it has worked. Worked. When you look at the number of SREs, small refinery exemptions, that have been granted under the Biden administration and compared to the Trump administration, there is no comparison. None. Zero. You know, when there were pending SREs under the Trump administration, I think the industry just kind of resigned itself to the fact that no matter how hard you worked at it, no matter what the rhetoric was leading up to the final decision and the announcement, the ethanol industry had better be prepared to be disappointed because there was going to be some SRE exemptions out there. Mm. Under the Biden administration, it's the opposite. It really is. I think the attitude has been that the small refiners have not and cannot prove that economic hardship that is required for them to prove before the exemption is issued. So it's really day and night. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to upset anybody by saying that, but, you know, facts are facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Let's talk a little bit about Glenn Tonser, because Glenn was talking about some stuff that I've noticed a bit of a trend, you know, when we're talking about.
Yeah.
And he broadened it correctly according to our experience over the last few days. It's not just beef.
Right.
Demand for meats, for proteins, consumers are becoming just a little bit more savvy, purse strings a little tighter.
Yeah.
At the meat case, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I joke about how I filled the freezer at the high of the market this year, which mm-hmm. I did. It's still way, way, way more affordable than buying meal to meal at the meat case. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Your options are limited. Yeah, I'll admit that. It sometimes it comes down to the fact that, geez, oh, look at that big pile of stew meat that we've got in the freezer. We need to start putting a dent in that. And I've got several ways that I can do that. Don't get me wrong.
Well, sure.
but nonetheless, another stew meat meal isn't the same as walking by the meat case and saying, you know what? Those ribeyes look pretty good in there. I think I'll just. So the affordability issue that we were talking about, and that we've been talking, you and I got on this kick, dude, like 6 months ago now.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Four at least. Months ago, talking about the affordability and how it is changing consumer attitudes. Well, it could catch up to them in 2024. I've expressed that concern before.
Yeah.
And, Glenn makes puts the proper perspective on it, that even if beef prices do go higher, if overall consumption is flat, that's still an increase in overall demand because you're moving the same amount at a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a legitimate thing, and it turns into support for the market.
Right, right.
Yep.
Well, so he's talking about the household finances, and they stink year on year. Tighter beef supplies. He's assuming recovering household spending in 2024 as a supportive feature here, but looks out to a greater likelihood of a run at the highs in 2025, Chip.
Right, right, exactly. And if we had more time, I think we would have been talking about the influence of pulling the females out of the slaughter mix and putting those bred heifers out on pasture, and that one last cut in overall beef demand. That one last cut in beef supplies driving prices up one last time. So something that we'll have to watch for. Thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to get you ready for tomorrow's USDA grain reports, winter wheat seedings, quarterly grain stocks, annual production summary, and the supply and demand report for Clark Neighbors. BIS Commodities is going to be our guest. We got a free-for-all tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Hey, what's up? up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make